live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 201, season 5. We are back. We are in the saddle. Another one. Oh, Jonathan was here and he just disappeared. Great way to start season 5. No, we are back. Big show this evening, episode 201. We took last week off, week to recharge the batteries, prepare for season number 5, our fifth year coming up doing this show now. So it's definitely bigger and bigger. My boy, Jonathan Birdsong here. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif, what's going on? Crossroads listening audience, what is going on, man? Brandon, it feels like we've been off for a month.
I know, right? Exactly. Season 5.
Season 5, episode number 201. And, dude, I haven't been, we haven't been watching or reporting on sports either at Crossroads Sports on Twitter or even at 3Foolishmen on Twitter. It's just that, we haven't had a show. But without further ado, please give us the rundown.
Yeah, big show this evening. We've got, obviously, college basketball. College basketball right now is in the heart of it. We got conference tournaments starting basically next week. And some of them have already started this past week. But next week, college basketball tournaments ramp up. We'll be talking that. Purdue, IU, where we're sitting with that. Purdue, IU play each other Saturday. We've got chaos with teams in the Big Ten or even in the top 25 losing, and they don't deserve to be losing. I guess deserve to lose, whatnot. We've got NBA talk tonight. Indiana Pacers update as we continue to suck for the pick, but winning some games. We play the Orlando Magic again tonight, the second worst team in the league. We lost to them already, so we'll see what happens tonight again. The NBA playoff push, LeBron's comments. After the All-Star break about kind of, is he putting pressure on Los Angeles? We'll talk that and more. NFL news and notes. John, we've got a lot of news. Colts news, Frank Wright, Chris Ballard both talked yesterday. And then I didn't get a chance to listen today of Ballard on another show. But we've got to talk about that. They talked about Carson Wentz, that era. NFL Combine's in town. Talk NFL Combine. News and notes. I got some today to listen for about an hour and a half to the great ESPN Adam Schefter. So some good stories from there. Meeting Adam Schefter today, and then as well, we'll hit some quick hitters and such. But I would be remiss, John, if I don't say within the next 17 minutes, we have on the 16-year professional wrestler, the veteran. Let me say it again. The veteran, Jack Vaughn, will be joining the show, John. And we saw him about a month or two ago, White River Wrestling here in Indianapolis. And he drew our attention. This guy drew our attention. So big dude, John. Big guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait. I can't wait till he calls in and we kind of get into his career and, some of his thoughts around the professional, some of his thoughts and some of the places he's been. As far as where his career has kind of taken him, and possibly even some sports takes, because we also know that he's also a big sports fan himself. So it's going to be good talking with Jack Vaughn. We do have him for a short time. He did bless us with that. So, but like now, man, before he calls in, man, what do you want to spin the wheel on and talk about?
Let's spin the wheel real quick. Let's talk. Indiana Pacers update. We'll do that because that's short-lived for this season.
Okay.
Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, John, playing very, very well. His stats are definitely showing up great. They beat the Celtics, beat the brakes off the Boston Celtics on Sunday night, and then they went and laid an egg against Orlando. They come back and play Orlando again tonight. No Miles Turner once again. Brogdon is back. Are they kicking the tires here to kind of see what they have with this young team? Buddy Hield's playing very well. Jalen Smith's playing well. Halliburton's playing. These guys back from this trade, they're playing well. Is it because just the main guys are out and this is their time to shine?
Yeah, it just hasn't translated into a whole lot of wins. I think since the Sabonis trade, and everybody know I boo-hooed that. But since the Sabonis trade, I don't think we've won like maybe two games with the new faces that we've had here. And that's cool because, you know, it's kind of even break. The Kings have only won two games of themselves. So with all that being said, you know, the Pacers are trying to see what they have here. They want to go a little bit more younger, a little bit more athletic than what they've had in years past. And that's kind of what they have right now. Can Coach Carlisle turn these young guys who, you know what I'm saying, are still very pretty much, you know what I'm saying, regardless of them being, you know what I'm saying, 2 or 3 years into this league, still kind of new to winning basketball, if you believe that or not. You know what I'm saying? We all know what the kind of programs they run out in Sacramento, right? And, but no, they're kind of new to winning basketball. So, and Carlisle, you know, has won pretty much everywhere he's went, from Detroit to the Pacers to Dallas and then back to the Pacers. So, and then it's definitely an evaluation period to see if they want to move on potentially from Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason, if that's even possible, or even sign some of their – or retain some of their free agents that they might have in some of their young guys, Sykes, Washington included, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't even think Stevenson might even be signed up through the next year. So, that again, total evaluation period to see, because I think the Pacers organization, regardless, I know your feelings about how ownership feels about the Pacers, you know what I'm saying, they're his good little team. I still think so. The Pacers don't always necessarily want to spend the money to go full board on winning a championship. They still want to be playing, you know what I'm saying, in May. They don't want the 500, Indy 500 just taking, you know what I'm saying, total headlines here in the Circle City or right now, Colts too, right? So they want to be playing in May and potentially even June, and right now they're not. So and they haven't like the last two seasons. So, you know what I'm saying, this is definitely a great evaluation period where they can see what they have and maybe retain some guys and maybe, you know what I'm saying, see what they can trade off in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that it's interesting with the Pacers how right now this organization, you know, we're at that the crossroads, and you can call it the crossroads, funny, of where you go. You know, are we really going to go in the full take dive mode here soon, or do we realize, hey, we've got some talent, let's see what this can do, what we compare it with, and is Miles ready? By the way, I have an insider. Miles is good. He's cleared. They're just not playing him for the rest of the year.
Okay.
They want to save it for I've got an insider inside the organization. They have confirmed to me that Miles is ready to go. There is no issues now, and it's just more of a, really, we only got less than 18 games left in the season. Is it something we really want to, you know, push? Going into an offseason where you may offer if you decide to do move him. So that's where we're sitting, I think, with Miles. Jalen Smith, can we keep him? Justin Powell asks, I think he can. I don't know what his value is, if he's going to be wanting more money or not, but I think he's a value. I think he's a slash big that can come off the bench fine. Is he a big bruiser? No, but I think he can beat around and, you know, beat some people inside the paint. He's gotten out a little bit outside shot there. So I think that could be an additional plus if we can get him on the cheap. You know, and the Brogdon's, obviously, we talked about him leaving in the postseason or after the season's over. But I think with Halliburton, Burton, and Hield, and that first region, Warren, you know, Warren's probably going to be dipping, you would think, after this year. And we'll kind of see what free agency has. We'll see what the draft has right now. We're holding the 5 spot right now. Johnny Davis, Wisconsin, last night, bank shot in to beat the Boilermakers. Last night at the Kohl Center, he's on the board for the Pacers at number 5. You know, Jaden Ivey's kind of there in the number 4 spot. So Pacers have a chance to move up, John. I think they may end up falling to like number 6 or number 7 by the time it gets to the end of the season, because I think they may, with this doubt, this team's a little more talented than we thought and kind of what they thought initially out there. Mm-hmm. These guys are all playing for contracts. So,
right. Yeah, I don't want to go too crazy as far as draft is concerned. Everybody knows I love the NBA draft. I also love college basketball. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that line, it gets a little blurry where we start talking about the NBA draft when guys still cemented in college and they're still, you know what I'm saying, potentially trying to go to the tournament or finish off their season, right? But no, man, you're spot on. This is definitely an evaluation period. If, you know, there's no way with like 18 or 17 games or so left that the Pacers are going to make some type of run and win even 10 or even 7 of these next 18. You know what I'm saying? I'll just be honest with you, man, you know. So, you know, they have their chance in the lottery, you know what I'm saying, getting a top 5 pick. Who that remains to be seen, who declares, you know what I'm saying, remains to be seen. We know the names that are out there, that are rumored to be out there, Jaden Ives of the world, the Jabari Parkers of the world, the kid from Auburn, Chet Holmgren of the world. But again, those even you know what I'm saying, those guys, if you bring them in to your program, you know what I'm saying, over the next year, over next summer of conditioning and pro conditioning and being around a pro set, you know what I'm saying, they're not necessarily going to turn your fortunes from, you know what I'm saying, from shit to glitter. You know what I'm saying? Within the matter of just them coming into your system. So again, man, we'll see, you know what I'm saying, what the Pacers kind of need going further after the season ends. You know what I'm saying? Again, Brandon, we can't forget that, you know, like you said, Miles Turner is probably clear to go, but you know what I'm saying, they still want to see, you know, what does that look like with him out there? What does that look like when TJ Warren comes back, I believe it or not, you know what I'm saying, he potentially comes back. He also has an expiring contract, you know what I'm saying, going into next season. So again, man, I know last several weeks I've been poo-pooing the Sabonis trade and the change or whatever, you know what I'm saying, but here we are. We can't cry with spilled milk. You know, the Pacers are going into a new era. And it, when I look at the map of it, Brandon, again, you want to get athletic as humanly possible at all positions, where guys can defend and defend on their own. They won't necessarily need help defense to make Miles have to block 7, 8, 9 shots per game as he does at a high clip. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Can Malcolm Brogdon stay healthy? If Malcolm Brogdon stay healthy, man, I'll fall out of this chair. the next 8 games, I'll fall out of this chair if he can stay healthy and in this season. Playing, I ain't going to say 100% of the game. I'm going to say even if he can play 85%, we ought to do a poll on Twitter and see if Malcolm Brogdon can play the next 85% of the games finishing the regular season. But, if he does, I fall out of this chair.
Yeah, that'll see the light of the day. Maybe the Lakers will take his contract on. I don't know. You know, maybe they'll just take it on for the hell of it for that organization. Decott, I see you on hold, my friend. Call back later, because we're killing some time here going now until we have a call that we have to do a quick one at 6:20. So hang tight, or you can stay on hold. I don't care, either one. But we'll get to you later on. John, Lakers. LeBron made some comments after the All-Star break that, hey, I might come back to Cleveland. I'm not ruling it out. I pushed L.A. to, hey, let's get something or else I'm leaving. I only signed a 2-year deal. Is it the fact that we got to get some players here, or the fact he says, hey, I'll go wherever my son gets drafted? I mean, that's good for him to get his son's draft stock up. And somebody's going to take a chance to get Bronny just so they can get LeBron's farewell tour and live on that.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't like necessarily being critical of semi-professional athletes or even high school athletes as far as them getting to the next level. When I look at Bronny James, I see a great, potential great college player. I really do. I can't necessarily see a G leaguer. I can't necessarily see, you know what I'm saying? Again, he's got one more year of high school eligibility left. He does play in an all-elite high school out there I think he plays out in Arizona, I think,
yeah.
At a high school out there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah
I just necessarily can't see. What I've seen of him on that particular circuit, I haven't necessarily seen, like, you know what I'm saying, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't necessarily popped for me as far as, like, this kid could. I mean, if you can't necessarily dominate your high school team, you can't necessarily say that you're going to come into the NBA and dominate. Again, it's not for me. Again, I'm sure that's that kid's dream to get to the league or whatnot, and I'm sure he'll make it his way there. Back to the LeBron James story. LeBron James didn't necessarily say he was coming back to play to Cleveland, not did he? At some point, man, our guy's going to be an owner. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. the Lakers are going to do everything they need possible, and it's probably going to be somewhat of a negotiation as far as like roster build. They will say, well, Bron, you signed off on this guy and that guy, and we really wanted this guy and that guy. So, you know what I'm saying, let us do our job. And ultimately they have to come to a decision like what – because this is the twilight. You know what I'm saying, LeBron James is still a great player. He's just not great enough to pull a team of who's who or used to be in the early 2000s. That's what his team is right now. He's not that good enough to pull them into a playoff spot. I don't necessarily think they make the playoffs, Brandon. I'll be honest with you. I know that there's a play-in implication when in the 8, 9, 10 spot or whatever, but I don't know necessarily if they make the playoffs. They've had so much of a tailspin. He's played, you know what I'm saying, relatively wonderful. It's just that, you know what I'm saying, the pieces doesn't necessarily fit with Westbrook. I'm not one to necessarily throw Westbrook to the Wolves. He hasn't necessarily shown the best attitude on this particular team once time things got tight. But, again, you know what I'm saying, it's funny, Brandon, that when Westbrook was with the Wizards just last year, they were fighting for their playoff spot. Not necessarily fighting for a championship, you know what I'm saying, but definitely fighting for a playoff spot. And then they made the playoffs. And then now the Wizards are damn, what, 11th, 12th, something like that, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like, hey, it's not like there's no value in Westbrook as a player anymore. Again, you know what I'm saying, just not a necessarily good fit with him and LeBron and this older crew that they have assembled on the floor. I think there's no way they trade. I'll be honest with you. I think there's no way they trade LeBron James. I think there's no way they trade Anthony Davis. I think somewhere in the offseason they find a happy home. Somebody who needs a star, somebody who needs a point guard, an attraction for Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? So I think he ends up, definitely get traded somewhere. And they have, again, they also have to fill out other pieces of the puzzle so that, you know what I'm saying, at least to put LeBron going out on top and, you know what I'm saying, help, you know what I'm saying, get through this transition. Because, you know, is Anthony Davis now the new unicorn? He's now, the, you know what I'm saying, what is that about? You know what I'm saying? Three years ago, dude, I watched the old ESPN tape where Steven Jackson, who played in the league for how many years and played with the Spurs, he said that Anthony Davis had the potential to be 10 times better than Tim Duncan. And I'm like, when he said it, I was like, whoa. And then, like I said, I just revisited it, and now it seems even crazier that he says that. But he had that ability to be that type of offensive and defensive presence on the basketball court. Again, he just become very injury prone in the last two seasons. So, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens for the Lakers. But again, I would not be surprised if they don't make the playoffs.
I almost agree 100% on that. That team is a dumpster fire waiting to happen. So it's not. So, but John, it's now time. You know, we've searched high and low for the guests that we get, and the next guest that we're going to bring on here, he caught our eye. We went to White River Wrestling back when they were here in Indianapolis at the Fowling Center back in, I think it was December, I think it was. John, we went. Great performances, great show overall. There's one person that caught our eye, and we said we need to get this guy on. It's my honor, John, and privilege to bring on the hopeful super future world champion. Also, the creator of Ban the Superkick, the veteran, Jack Vaughn. Jack, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for joining. Hey, Jack, we got word of you. Like I said in the intro, we went to White River Wrestling. Great show, great time. All the athletes out there, the performers, was great. And for some reason, my man, your persona, your presence, your ring ability caught our eye, and it just clicked with it. So we are excited and it's ecstatic to get you on our show.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys enjoyed the show. That is one thing that I take great pride in, is trying to put on the best possible show that I can, and then I'm glad that you appreciate the character that I'm portraying.
Okay. Yeah, I can't even remember. This is Jonathan, Jack. Welcome to the show. I can't even remember the guy you wrestled. It was probably the guy reminded me of like the Fifth Dynamic dude. I don't know if your wrestling memory can go that far.
Of course.
But like I said, like Brandon said, like, dude, one, we can't miss you. I don't know how tall you are. It's got to be over 6'3", right? So one you can't miss you, you know what I'm saying, coming into a building. But got to ask you, man, what got you started into the business in the first place?
So I just grew up a fan. So I was born in 85, so I grew up in the heyday of Hulkamania.
Okay.
My dad was a fan, my brother was a fan, so I grew up watching wrestling with my dad and brother. And then it was one of those things that I just never stopped being a fan. And then pretty much everyone who's around my age, when I was in high school, backyard wrestling was a huge thing. Like everyone had their own backyard wrestling federation, and we were no different. And then when we graduated high school, there was about three or four of us that all wound up training together. We saw an ad in the paper for a training school run by Shark Boy, so we all signed up for it.
Okay. Do you remember your first match, your first professional match?
Ooh, unfortunately, I do. It was it's one of those things I think about now, and I'm just like, man, I can't believe I was ever that bad. Like, it was in the building that we trained in, which was like one of those like office buildings that had like an attached garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like a huge building. It was a tag team match. It was me and my friend Jimmy Turner against Jay West and Brian Carlucci, and it was one of those things where, like, I as soon as I got back, I thought that we did great. I thought it was a great match, but the veterans, so to speak, of the that were at the show at the time, kind of took me aside and said, "Hey, here's why everything you did was terrible." So I learned pretty quickly.
So do you always look for even to this day? And I know that was some time ago. Do you always still look for constructive criticism after a match?
Absolutely. You know, so you can learn. The thing about professional wrestling is that you never stop learning. You know, I like in 5 days from now will be the 18th anniversary of the day that I started training, and I am still constantly looking to other people on the show, like asking them, "Hey, was there anything that you noticed? Anything I could work on? Anything that, you know, probably needs improvement or just didn't look good in general that I can work on?" So yeah, I mean, I'm. You know, I consider myself a student of the game, so I like to learn as much as I can, and, you know, I want to get better every time I go out there.
In your trained opinion, what makes a good professional wrestling – what makes a good match?
So wrestling has changed a lot over the years, and I know that even from the time that I first started to now, I was always taught the number one aspect is to – you know, make sure the match makes sense from a, you know, match psychology perspective. And the primary objective is not to get yourself over, but to get the match over. So that's what I always look for, you know. And, you know, every match, there's a psychology to every match, and it's always going to be different. You know, if the match calls for you to, you know, make someone look good and lose in a couple minutes, then go out there and do it to the best of your ability. So that's what I look for. Like, did you tell the story of the match properly, and did you get the match over?
Okay. So when you came up with your style, is this who do you model yourself after, or is this the original mold that is the veteran Jack Vaughn?
So, like, I guess I just kind of model myself less after specific wrestlers and more just after a particular era of the wrestling business. So, you know, I grew up watching 80s and 90s wrestling, so that's the stuff that I've always liked. And not to say that there hasn't been good wrestling since then, because there certainly has, but that's just the style that I grew up with and the style that I like. So, you know, I definitely prefer to do the old school style. And, you know, at one point in time, especially when I first started, I tried to be like, you know, the athletic big man and go out there and do stuff that was impressive, but it wasn't me.
Gotcha. What are some of the common misconceptions about professional wrestling?
I think a lot of the misconceptions is that a lot of people that don't follow wrestling, they only see the stuff on television. So they only see the superstars, so to speak. They don't, you know, and I'm the same way. Like, I didn't follow independent wrestling when I was younger. It wasn't until I got into business that I started actually going to independent shows. So a lot of you know, non-wrestling fans, they only see the stuff on TV and don't realize that there are, you know, I guess at this point, thousands of independent wrestling companies all over the country, and they don't realize that the people that they see on TV today started out at those small venues wrestling for basically, you know, peanuts. So I think that's the biggest misconception from, especially from non-wrestling fans.
Okay. So on your indie travels, what's probably the strangest or even the most, I won't say strange, what is the most interesting thing that's ever happened in any of your travels?
Most interesting things. So, I mean, a lot of the most interesting things are things that are probably not safe to talk about on radio.
Okay. All right.
Not to say that I did anything necessarily nefarious. I've always been a pretty straight-laced guy. I never got into, like, drugs and alcohol. But, before I was married, you know, there was some ladies
no,
on
I'm,
the road.
No, I'm thinking for, like, yeah, don't tell on yourself. I'm thinking from a crowd standpoint. Or, you know, say any weird interactions or anything like that.
Oh, see, I took it in a completely different direction than you were intending. I mean, nothing particularly strange. I mean, I thrive and I love, like, back in the day, like in the 40s, 50s, 60s, like, wrestlers used to get so much heat that fans would, like, throw batteries at them and, like, try to stab them and stuff. And, you know, obviously everyone's kind of in on it now. Everyone knows that wrestling is a work. But I want to get to the point to where I get a fan to try to stab me. Like, that's kind of like, I love going out there and getting heat. And, you know, I haven't had any, like, really weird interactions with fans. I've never had anyone try to, like, fight me after shows or anything. But, like, you know, you just get those fans that get a little more rowdy than others and try to get in your face. But, you know, nothing too strange.
What, Jack, you play heel, what do you feel is the best or the best characteristics in playing a heel? What should get you over? What do you look for? What do you like about it so much?
So I think that, you know, like I said before, wrestling is much different than it used to be. Back in the day, you could pretty much say or do anything. And because that was your job, was to get the people to hate you. And now I truly feel like, with maybe a few exceptions, there's not a lot of true heels in professional wrestling anymore. And that's what I'm trying to be. I want to be a true heel. I don't want the fans, you know, I don't want to be the cool heel like the NWO did. You know, I want the fans to absolutely hate my guts. You know, I don't want to have like that subsect of fans that cheer for me. You know, I want everyone to hate me. And, you know, I try to push the envelope as much as I can. Unfortunately, you know, and I guess it's not unfortunately, but, you know, we have grown as a society, so certain things are taboo to say and do. But, you know, I do my best to try to push the envelope without maybe pushing it too far, but maybe just enough.
Okay. Well, you did it for us. We liked your persona, and we thought you played a great heel. And that's kind of what got us involved. And it's kind of the heel, and it kind of reminded me, and I hate using the example, but like CM Punk back when he had his quote pipe bombs where he told the behind the curtain truths. And that's what I kind of felt you do going out there. You know, you talk about, you've got the, hey, I found it on Google and I signed it. I know Jonathan didn't do it, but the band, the Super Kick, because everybody uses the damn thing now in professional wrestling that it's just not going to work. So it's like, damn. Dude's right. He's absolutely right about this. So it's those type of things that kind of draws you in a little bit of a comparison, I think.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, so like with the whole band, the Super Kick thing, I feel, you know, I find that a lot of people agree with me, like, because at this point it's so oversaturated and it's to the point I basically refer to it as a nothing move. It's like a move that people just kind of do and they can't think of anything else to do. So it's, I don't know. It's one of those things that is just so overdone that, you know, I think, the Super Kick is by far, you know, in no way the only move that needs to be banned from professional wrestling. There's like a dozen that I can think of off the top of my head I see in every match. But, yeah, I mean, I try to sprinkle in sort of like insider truths that, you know, maybe the smart fans that, you know, they'll understand what I'm talking about and kind of get behind it. But yeah, definitely Superkick. If you, if anyone who's listening, it's change.org/ban the Superkick. And you can sign my petition to try to ban the Superkick from professional wrestling.
We will get that tweeted out and also on the Facebook page. So everybody get on it. Jonathan, you haven't signed it yet. I saw the list. I signed it. You haven't. Get on it. Matt, where can we find you next? What's your schedule look like? When are you getting, when are you getting back in the ring, and what's it look like? Anything near Indianapolis here?
So I live in the Cincinnati area. So I mean, I guess, is Cincinnati considered the Indianapolis area? I guess
yeah,
that's a little
right
too
down
far.
The road. You're right down the road.
Okay.
We're fellow residents, right?
Okay. Yeah. So so a lot of Fridays, there is a company down in the Cincinnati area I wrestle for called Future Great Wrestling, and I will be there this Friday night. And then the following week I will be in – let's see, where will I be? Next Friday night I will be in Lexington, Kentucky. And then next Saturday night, I will be in Lima, Ohio for War Wrestling.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Jack, you mentioned Cincinnati area. I'm glad you did. I got to ask you, man, Cincinnati was somewhat of a hotbed, at least for football, mm-hmm. this particular year with the Bearcats, you know what I'm saying, in the national championship conversation, and, of course, the Bengals, man. What was some of the temperature there in Cincinnati around those particular teams? Well, not temperature, but what was your – did you – I'm going to ask a dumb question. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course, yes. I actually I kind of saw bits and pieces of it because I was in the middle of doing something, but I did get to watch the entirety of the fourth quarter, and that was stressful.
So what do you – I don't know how hardcore you are about football. What do you – do you think you got another – they got another run in them, the Bengals?
I sure hope so, man. I'll say the same thing that everyone says. Is they've got to spend some money on an offensive line. They have got to protect Joe Burrow.
Right.
That man is the savior of Cincinnati. No harm can come to that man.
okay.
But yeah, I think, you know, I'm a you know, football fan in the sense of, like, you know, I have the team that I follow, and I don't get big into, like, you know, oh, we have this much cap space, and we have to worry about this guy's contract. I don't get that hardcore into it, but yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I think they definitely have another run in them. But man, like the AFC is so stacked, just between the Chiefs and the Bills, and like
I definitely think
that they have a chance to do it again if they make some improvements on the offensive line, and. You know, maybe make some one or two moves on defense, but it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. But I definitely believe in my Bengals.
Okay, before we let you go, because I know we're on the time, you know what I'm saying, we're on a time crunch here. I gotta ask you. In the limited time we've gotten to know you or seen some of your work, you know what I'm saying, you did mention that you had a tag team partner earlier on. I gotta ask you, who would be your dream tag team? If you could pick any professional wrestler around the world, indie, known or unknown, live or dead, who would be your dream tag team partner?
Probably Arn Anderson.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, Arn Anderson, you know, I mean, obviously he had the run as, you know, the Brainbusters and with the Four Horsemen, so he's well known as a tag team specialist, but that's, you know, if there's any, I know I said that I kind of model myself after a specific era, but if there's any wrestler I kind of model my style after, it is Arn Anderson. So, you know, Arn Anderson in his prime with Jack Vaughn, I don't think there's anyone that can stop us.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely. All right. You got one more, Brandon?
No, I'm good. I know. I didn't want to take too much time. It's gracious to join us tonight. So.
Okay. I just got to ask you one more. What do you love, like, or respect most about pro wrestling?
The thing that I love the most is just I have made so many friends from this business, and you know, and people throw around the word brothers a lot, especially in professional wrestling. It's, you know, you go to any wrestling show, you're gonna be like, oh, what's going on, brother. But mm-hmm. you know, I have a lot of guys in the business that I met when I was real young that have remained very close friends of mine. And you know, there's a lot of guys who they only know people from wrestling, but there are guys in the business that have just outside of wrestling have become some of my best friends. So that is the thing that I love most about professional wrestling is the brotherhood.
Nice. Well, the veteran Jack Vaughn, anytime you want to come on the show, you contact me or Brandon. We'll push out whatever, you know what I'm saying, you got going on. You know what I'm saying, out to the masses, and hopefully we get to see you sometime soon with White River Wrestling or any other promotion around here besides this book, you know what I'm saying? Hey, can you do us a favor, though, before you leave?
Yes, sir.
Can you give us just a little bit of the veteran on the outro?
Ooh. Oh.
Is there any particular points that you want me to get across?
Oh, man.
You going to say the current product that we're seeing on TV? You think?
I'm sorry. My phone was cutting out. I didn't quite catch that.
All right. Maybe the current product that we're seeing right now on wrestling on TV, maybe? Is that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Trust me, I talk all kinds of crap about the stuff on TV today.
Perfect.
So listen, the stuff on TV today, that's not real professional wrestling. It's a bunch of 5-foot-nothing, 100-and-nothing little boys pretending to play wrestler. Everywhere I go, every locker room I step into, it's a bunch of little boys pretending to play wrestler and a bunch of old men that should have hung up their boots 10 years ago. But me, the veteran Jack Vaughn, I am the last real professional wrestler.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack. Have a great one, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. The veteran, Jack Vaughn, great outro promo that he gave to us. I'm glad I got to hear a little of the veteran. I wanted to go in on you, but, you know, I couldn't think of anything.
So is that why you kept on saying, I signed the petition.
I didn't see you sign it and then tweet it back out, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Aaron, we'll bring on another guy here. I hate this guy. He's been waiting on hold, so we'll bring him. D-Cot, what you got? I think D-Cot may have fell asleep. He was on hold so long.
No, man, I was muted because I was listening.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
The recording said, well, it said unmuted. And I was like, shit. I don't want to be talking in the background because I love the interview. My internet's been having all type of problems, so it was easier for me to wait on hold because I was getting stuff done around the house anyway. So it's cool.
Gotcha. So where do you want to go?
Man, so many damn directions, man. I want to touch. I want to say the best for last. Save my patience for last. I want to touch on MLB, right? One of the things I've continued to say since day one is MLB has the best union, not just in sports, but period. They've shown the fact that they're not going to buckle for owners trying to bully them. The owners talked about, you know, this lockout last year, and the thought was we're going to do this so we can start our progress. The owners didn't come to anything serious until January. Anything serious until January, and it shows. Tony Clark should run for president of the United States, in my opinion. Right. And I think that dude is, and I'm going to tell you why. He's a stand-up dude. He's a pro, and he hasn't batted one. I want to see baseball. I'm not sitting there saying I don't want to see it. But you're not going to be bullied because you're trying to break our union. They tried to do it in 94, and they tried to do it prior to that. Boy Kuhn. It's not going to happen. And if NFLPA wants to find out what a real union looks like, turn on to MLB TV and hear what those guys are talking about. NFL Players Association can learn an awful lot from MLBPA. I'm just saying. Well, and Brandon, that's my message, Brandon, on my end.
I got you, Brandon. You want to touch that? I really don't have anything on NBA, Major League Baseball. I'll be honest with you. They got it. They better get out there. I mean, they better come together and get out there on the field, man. They're losing market share. You know what I'm saying? As far as being considered one of the top sports, man. You know what I'm saying? Market share meaning like ratings and whatnot. And it's going to get to a point.
I got you.
It's going to get to a point where, like, dude, like, I found myself watching PBA, the PBA tournament of champions on Sunday, and not even caring that Major League Baseball was in an argument. You know what I mean?
And
I'm not, and
I get
that's not the crap on, that's not the crap on major, that's not the crap on PBA, you know what I'm saying, pro bowling, what I was watching. I'm just saying, like, you know, I like watching competitive sports. You know what I mean? I even watch golf. Hell, I watched the Daytona 500 a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? And all those things.
Well, you were, man, you were bored.
All those things have hey, man, Bubba Wallace came in second, man. It ain't necessarily Good Old Boy Network just anymore, man. Plus,
okay,
I go to that history lesson another time. We talk NASCAR another time. But, like, nah, man,
exactly.
My main thing, Major League Baseball got to get out there on that field, man. They're losing market share.
Yeah.
And I
understand
that, right?
And there's a lot of things. The minor leaguers, they need more compensation. And the fact that they're having to pay for their lodging, their travel, their meals. And, I mean, John, when I talk about paying for meals, buddy, it's a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly. And they need to be – it's good, I think, the major leaguers and stuff are sticking up for those minor leaguers that are busting their butts in single A, double A, and triple A, you know, to get up there. The thing is, I just saw, like, I think triple A, double A, and triple A, and them are still playing. I think their seasons are still going to go on from what I read.
Yeah, because they're not tied in. But here's
right.
what they're doing. They're talking about guys when they get to the league and they have their veteran minimums, right? So MLB came up with it, added another $25,000 to the veteran minimum. $25,000 to regular people seems like a lot, but your minimum is $675,000. So now you're saying, now let's make it $700,000. That's like saying we're going to make the minimum wage from $12 to $14. What's happening is MLB is playing this game on TV to make them look like the good guys. At the baseball, the baseball union is going to stand strong. Tony Clark and his leadership team is going to make sure of that. And listen, I understand, but you got to realize they canceled the World Series. These guys ain't a joke, man. You know, MLBPA is not a joke. So we can talk about, you know, get back to play. And that's what happened with the NFL. That's why they're so weak. They're not playing for each. They're not negotiating for each other. They're negotiating for individualism, right? Because I need my check. So all I'm just saying, and I, you know, end it with that. NFLPA should just watch what they're doing, and they'll see it's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you this, Jonathan. Those fans that are diehard baseball fans, I promise you, if the season starts 1 May, they'll have their butts in the stands watching the game. Because baseball has that niche fan group. You're not gonna go turn 25 years old and all of a sudden be a baseball fan.
Yeah, but the niche is getting smaller. That's all I'm saying. The niche is
Jonathan, the salaries are going up though, Jonathan. The salaries are going up. They're not going down, man. Did you see that they had 9 players with $200 million contracts? Remember when A-Rod signed his deal?
Yeah,
I will
tell you this, Ron. Talking about the niches getting small, okay, well, baseball's season, the ratings were down. Ratings were down for regular season. Well, if they shave off, 40 games, you still got 120. Games, you know, World Series ratings last year were up. They were up from the previous 2020 and 2019.
Right.
So I think it's going to be, if you shave off some games, I think the fans are okay with that. Like, damn, it's such a long season. I can watch the beginning of baseball, tune it out for a couple months, and then pick it back up at the All-Star break or even September. And you're not missing anything. You know?
I would agree with that. And I knew I threw a curveball for you guys, but you know, me and a friend of mine, who's a loudmouth, loves to talk about unions and things like that. But this is just a great example of what solidarity looks like. That's all I'm saying. And the NFL could learn a few things based off of their poor support of their players, their retired players, and their pension plan. But enough about that. But let's talk my Indiana Pacers. We talked about it in the beginning of the season, 32-50. The Pacers, you know, that's what I talked about, that their record is going to be. They're right on pace. But here's the difference. They've got an opportunity for more flexibility they've ever had in the history of the Pacers. they've got expiring contracts and they've got marketable players, right? And looking – because it was the game on Sunday with Boston. The kids from Kentucky, I'm telling you, I'm not saying he's some the next, you know, Dwight Howard or whomever. But I'm going to tell you, that kid, he's got staying power. He's athletic. He has a strong second bounce. Pay attention to him. He's got a strong second bounce. And I think, and to your point, I think, and I saw Turner at the game. Turner's fine. There's nothing wrong with Turner. He can play if he needed to. He's not playing. I would agree with you 100% on that. He could play. And so I think what they're doing is the right thing. The only thing I ask is, what is the date that they're going to do a Tamika catching and get rid of the whole front office? Because I don't trust those guys making June, July decisions with what they've done. We can have all the flexibility we want. However, if the same guys are driving this 18-wheeler, I don't expect anything. I don't expect good stuff. I think we hit a jackpot with Halliburton and Buddy, but I'm going to tell you, you cut out on me. I'm sorry.
I said they also drove that car and were able to pull off that trade.
Yeah.
That kind of worked out a little.
Yeah, they lucked into it because Sacramento was desperate for a big guy, in my opinion, because the big guy they drafted out of Duke has shown nothing, right? So I think that's a part of that deal too. And you're talking about the visual, all-star, right? We got an all-star. But like I told you guys, Sabonis is just a good player. He's not a great player, maybe close to very good, but that's it. But I'm going to tell you, this June and July, man, is going to be a big deal because you've got the opportunity for Brogdon to be traded now after that poison pill is over, and then you've got the expiring contract. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. And I'm going to tell you this, based off of the flexibility they'll have with the probably a top seven pick, and Cleveland's pick, if you realize Cleveland got some players injured now, and they've lost a few games in a row. That pick was looking mid-20s. There's a chance that pick could be in the team, high teens now. So that offers up more flexibility with regard to trade and moving players. Maybe someone takes on Brogdon's contract. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and give you this the Cleveland pick, right? If you think about that, you know, then you got the expiring contract for the kid. With hurt foot, I can't remember his name, but you know his is gone too. So I look forward to this June and July. I hate to see the Pacers lose, and I was talking to Reggie about it. I'll never cheer for them to lose, but I'm not in pain when they lose, man, because we haven't had an opportunity for a top five pick since Jonathan Bender, and that was the trade when we traded Antonio Davis to Toronto, if you remember.
Yeah.
Horrible trade.
That was the last top five. Well, Jonathan, what I'm saying, the last top five opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, so let me ask you this.
I'm not saying. Sure.
And this is I put this all on Twitter. I had people on 50-50, both sides of it, comment back on Facebook page and on Twitter when I posted this a couple weeks ago. Gentlemen, I think it's time we retire the slam dunk contest.
But I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't have the guys that we as fans want to see in it. And no, I'm not a fan of getting the N1 mixtape group out here to do it. No, this is the NBA slam dunk contest. Either A, there are going to be NBA players in it, or we're not going to have it. But I'm going to tell you this. You guys may not know this. I don't watch All-Star festivities, man. If I want to watch street ball and that type of stuff, I go to West Montgomery Park or Washington Park in the summer. Or mixtape. Just saying. I promise you, I haven't watched an All-Star game in probably 5 years. And the only reason if I watch a dunk contest is when a Pacer was in it. I'm not a real authority on that. But I do know that I've heard a lot of people talk about how bad it was. And I say, yeah, go ahead and get rid of it. I won't miss it anyway.
John, it was bad. It was so bad.
Shut up.
And that's the thing. Yo, you know, Fred, he still got the shop over off of Georgetown. And that dude's a good dude, man. But I'm going to tell you this. If the star guys don't want to do it, man, you can't force it, right? Because guys are trying to do all this extra stuff.
Well,
you know, grabbing Timberlands and all of that.
I think there's no push for creativity and like do your own dunk. Because Obi Toppin, when he was in college and since he's been in the league, he's had some spectacular dunks. But there's some things like, you know, if you're not Vince Carter. I'm not talking about Obi Toppin, but you're not Vince Carter. Don't try to do the elbow dunk. Don't do that. Nobody really cared when Blake Griffin jumped over the car, over the hood of the car. But still, we've already seen that. There's so many dunks that we've seen.
He was thrown with authority. He just kind of did like a normal. He didn't like try to hang with authority. It was the theatrics that Vince Carter did for his dunks. The power, the explosiveness, the showmanship afterwards. None of that. None of these four guys showed that weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So I mean, maybe they can improve it. Make the purse bigger. It's not going away. I'm telling you that right now. And then maybe the three-point contest is taking over. That's what's taking over. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you got a big, like, Karl-Anthony Towns, you know what I'm saying, going out there and basically setting
you
a record
just hit it.
For shots.
Jonathan, you just hit it. You got to increase the purse, man. Money talks, and you know what walks, right? We talked about that as kids growing up, right? Money talks, man. So you
It'd
put these guys out there.
It'd be crazy if they said the purse is like, what, $25,000, $50,000, something like that. It's in the thousands. It'd be crazy if they said $1 million. I guarantee – no, I ain't going to say $1 million. $3 million. I guarantee you. You might have Brogdon, who can't – you know what I'm saying? Who can't at all. You might have him trying to be in the $3 million for one contest. Are you kidding?
Why not, right?
So
it'll be interesting to see how that all takes place.
He weighs 300 pounds now, by the way. Just so everybody knows, I saw him recently.
Who, Big Zion Williams?
Jones Jr. Zion Jr. Jones.
Oh, wow. I got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's three bills. I don't know if he can get up it.
But I'm going to tell you this, though, right? So, Jonathan, to your point, the money talks, right? But for me, from my standpoint, if you take a look at the game, I saw highlights, right? You know, it just not the NFL Pro Bowl, but they're not serious because now they've fixed it. It's like pro wrestling. We just talked about it, right? We just got a wonderful interview. They fixed the ending so it won't be a blowout. How can people knock pro wrestling and not knock what happened in the NBA for the All-Star game? The fix is in. And listen, I could get going on that all day long. That is an absolute example. You've seen guys clown me because I love wrestling, right? And my boy Reggie. I love it. I'm not going to lie. I love watching wrestling. It's a scripted match. What was the difference between that and the NBA All-Star game? It's scripted to end, man. So let's be real about this, man. Let's not take our emotions and, I don't like wrestling, so therefore I'm going to knock it. No, that's fine.
I don't know if 7450 is scripted because I don't think anybody
ending. No. Hey, I'm glad you said that. It's not about Steph. It's about the ending. What are they doing in wrestling ending? The end is scripted. There's a lot goes on in the middle.
That's fine. I'm fine with the Elam ending. It keeps ratings.
But listen, what I'm saying, you can't knock wrestling, and then you see this scripted plan and say, well, it's really real. It's not real. No one was there within 15 feet of Steph. I'm not buying that. I'm not drinking that coffee, man. Sorry. He still had to hit the shot. I get you. No one was in 15 feet of the dude when he's shooting those threes. Man, I'm sorry. I'm not impressed, man.
But he's shooting. You don't need to be all the way out there.
Right, but he practices that all day long, man. That's his shot.
Yeah.
In an empty gym. We all are great three-point shooters in an empty gym.
Absolutely.
So all I'm just saying, exactly. I used to kill him in high school, too. But the point I'm making is, we gotta be wary of people knocking one for another because of their personal feelings. So all I'm saying, listen, if people want to watch it, that's great. All I'm just saying is, it's the same.
It's our game.
When I catch Reggie
on Twitter, man, I remind him he just don't like none of the new wrestlers. I'm sure he grew up on Dixon Prison like everybody.
He's on hold right now,
man. Get him on, man.
Don't bring him
on.
Up.
You're not going to go? What are you going to do?
You don't know where you're going, Dad.
I didn't take you because you don't know where you're going. This is back.
We're about to put him back on hold.
Yeah, he's still back on hold right now.
Be careful. Yeah, because you got to be careful because, believe me, because if he doesn't know, he's on the air. So be careful. But listen, I'm going to hit y'all real quick. Listen. We talked about Ja Morant, right, or briefly a few weeks ago. I have an opportunity to see him twice in the next 10 days, the 15th and the 24th. It's a guy's trip I do going down to Memphis and spend some time at Tunica because there's a nice place down there called Gold Strike Casino. I've got an opportunity to get down there, and I talked to some guys, hey, if you're interested, let me know. And this goes for you two guys, too. I know somebody's got a promotion and they're working hard. I won't say any names, but if there's an opportunity to go down there and see in the dump called FedEx Forum, be more than happy, man, to take a few people. I'm taking my oldest son, my nephew, and possibly my brother down there on the 23rd of March. And we're going to stay two nights, or we're going to do some NCAA betting on that Thursday. Get down to Memphis that afternoon, Beale Street, B.B. King's barbecue restaurant, and watch the Pacers and Memphis on that night, Thursday night, the 24th.
Well, D-Kai, unless we get two more monster games or like a host full of monster games between Giannis and Embiid, I think Ja Morant's going to be the MVP.
Man, he is gaining traction like I've never seen. You know who this reminds me of? You remember Barry Sanders in his Heisman year when he was when he was just an afterthought in the beginning, how he just came on week after week? This is what this reminds me of.
You talking about Barry Sanders, the second best running back of all time?
The kid from Oklahoma State, the great number 20, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there. And that's what I'm serious. Y'all think about it. He was an afterthought, man, at the beginning
of the season.
That dude's electric.
I think he's put together a case to be MVP.
Hey, I'm not a huge fan of other. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna say no. Go. I'll let you finish. Go.
No, I'm not a huge fan of other players on other teams. You all know that. I've said that many times. But I'm gonna tell you, don't tell anybody. But old Cott really likes that Ja Morant guy. I like him to the point where I can't wait till the 15th when I see him down at Bankers Life, and then 9 days later head on down south to see him play against our Pacers. I look forward to that, man, because that dude's a legend. And he seems like a humble dude. I didn't say he was because you never know about these guys. He seems like a humble dude. So that's my only point I was making. I'll let it go.
Hey, I heard a rumor that the profits have been up high down there at Indiana Grand lately. That they've been turning some profits from some people. Is that true?
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you this. They haven't been turning no profit for me, Jack. Let me tell you this. I was in there last night and hit them again last night. Check this out. Y'all be like, what, this is a sports call or a casino call? But there's a woman named Mrs. Cott. Man, her hand has been itching every day on slots, man. I'm on the roulette table, of course. But, man, we've had a good stretch to this point, man. And I'm going to have a really, really nice trip when I get down to Memphis because it's already paid for it. It's been really good, to put it that way. And I have no problem getting some company. If you want to accompany me, all you got to do is hit me up, man.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, D-Cott.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Listen, don't let Reggie stay on too long because you know she's got some challenges and stuff. But I will listen on my phone because my internet's crap.
You want me to just put you on hold?
Absolutely. Yeah, put me on hold. That's cool.
All right. I'll put you on hold. Thanks, Red. Or thanks, D-Cott. All right, John, let's try this one more time. Make sure he's not having a different conversation. Reggie, you on?
Hey, man, I'm talking to my parents. I got to take them downtown to see my auntie. She had a little stroke a few months ago, so I'm on my way. But I wanted to call in because I know D-Cott don't know what he's talking about for a sport. Now, he said he hadn't looked at All-Star Weekend in 5 years. It's been over 5 years since Fred Jones been in All-Star competition. So that was his first lie right there that he told. Secondly, I'm pretty much on the same page with him when it comes to the Pacers. I like this young core of guys. I like what's going to happen. I just cannot cheer for them to lose any games so we can, you know, get a very, very, very high draft pick. That's just not how I'm built. That's the old school in me. But
I
I think that this team may work out once everybody comes back from injuries. And I do think we have to re-sign Smith. You know, you got $17.9 million come off the books with Ricky Rubio. You may be able to go ahead and let T.J. Warren walk because you actually have Brogdon playing pretty good at an off position. You're going to have the rookie playing pretty good. And, you know, I just think we're pretty solid at that position. I don't know what kind of position they're going to come up with Goga because I like how Terry's playing and I like I mean, Goga's played good a few games, but he just can't guard anybody. I'm kind of anxious to see what Miles is going to do with this group when he comes back because I see the kind of ball Rick is playing. He wants to push that ball up and, you know, get it. The offense is not stagnant. And you know what? I had told y'all for, you know, months now that they can let Brogdon go. But I like how he's fitting into the situation playing off the ball. He hasn't been demanding it. He's been sharing the ball. I like how Hyde's been passing the ball. I mean, he's up in all categories, rebound, assists, and points. So I think everybody's buying in. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think those young guys actually want to be here.
That remains to be seen. Reg, I gotta pick on you for a little bit, man. You kind of off your trolling duties, man. I thought I see more Lakers than LeBron James you know what I'm saying, memes than a little bit, man. You must be showing them that fan base some penance.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, man?
Nah, man, I just been having a lot going on, you know, dealing with my auntie and work and the new house and everything. I hadn't had time. But this upcoming week, I'm going to be back on my P's and Q's because I see James is crying about, oh, fans are getting on me, don't bet against me and all that. So that's one thing where me and D. Cott agree. I will admit that James is a great player and he does a lot for the community. But, you know, bug him on the basketball court. You know, I didn't like Larry Bird. He was with Boston. You know, I didn't like Magic Johnson. He was with the Lakers. I'm a Pacers guy. I cheer for the Pacers. You know, I mean, I give people props. I did like Dr. J, but I never rooted for Dr. J to beat the Pacers. Never in life. So, you know, those guys need to – I'm listening.
No, I was going to let you finish your thought, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I just – there's nothing wrong with liking players. You know, I heard y'all talking about Ja earlier. I like Ja. But on March 15th, you know, that's just backwards to me. That's just like people like who wear Adidas with Nike and Reebok. Man, we're all Adidas, all Nike, or all Reebok. You know, I don't care if the colors match. Just wear the same brand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what I do.
Reggie, let me.
I don't know if y'all touched.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Let me switch gears from the Pacers. Reggie, I want to know your thoughts. You're a big Colts fan. You know, we talked about this, Reggie, big Colts fan, all this. My question to you is, there was a press conference yesterday where Chris Ballard and Frank Wright both said, well, we don't know yet what we're going to do with Carson. Carson's probably going to be a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. We don't know if it's going to be with us or with not. I don't know what's more of a bold-faced lie. They have to know what the hell they're doing with him by now, you would think, right?
I agree. I think the owner is putting a lot of pressure on them, but there's nobody out there. Wilson isn't going nowhere. Aaron isn't going nowhere. The problem is, who are you going to trade from? Old boy from San Francisco? He ain't that much better. Trubisky? Nah, leave him. You know, you might as well go ahead and keep him, pay $15 million instead of losing $15 million in dead weight and give him a year. Because who are you going to get? Who are you going to draft? You have no first-round draft pick. So
you
might as well stop talking all the trash and admit that you're going to admit that you're going to keep him.
Yeah, I was in it today. I was in today. I'm hearing myself. And they had Adam Schefter was there. And one of the questions asked, because we had a Q&A, was about the Carson Wentz situation. He believes, since that, he believes, you know, the Colts are going to cut him or whatever. But he said, who do you look at? You've got Jimmy G, as you said, who's coming off an injury, getting surgery. You've got Mitchell Trubisky that they're saying that could be an option. But the problem is Trubisky plays like crap, and his agent is the same agent for Carson Wentz. So you know that's not going to happen. And then you look at some of these other quarterbacks in the league, Jameis Winston. Jameis doesn't really fit the system for Indianapolis. I told Jonathan, I think you got to stay put with Wentz. There's nothing else out there draft-wise or free agency that's going to make this team better. Period.
I agree. I think you go ahead and you keep Wentz and you concentrate on a pass rusher or a left tackle. They don't know if they're going to keep Fisher yet or not. But you go ahead and you keep Wentz for this 1 year, and maybe you have some better options next year. Because to me, all those quarterbacks are in this. You can throw them all in the same head and pull one of them out, and it is what it is. There's nobody that excites me in that group. So if I have $15 million, even though I'm not the owner and I'm a billionaire, and I don't care about $15 million, you know, maybe my attitude would be different. But me being a fan, I think that they should just go ahead and keep him, and then be from up. If he doesn't, you know, perform this year, hey, you got to move on. You have better options. At least your $15 million didn't.
Right, and you know, here's the thing. It's cute and all when you have this little Colts homecoming of Robert Mathis or Gary Brackett or Reggie Wayne coming back to coach the wide receivers, and you're going to probably put some butts in the seats because these guys are here and you're going to see them on Sundays. But bringing Reggie Wayne in to be the wide receiver coach is nice, but if he only got one freaking wide receiver to work with, Pittman, the rest of these scrubs, you got to get some talent in there at the wide receiver court, or else him coming into coaching ain't going to do anything.
You know what it is? I think we're spoiled. We hadn't always had the best wide receivers besides Marvin, Reggie, and T.Y. But Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, a few other quarterbacks, they have lesser receivers. They throw their receivers open. They have better accuracy than what Wentz has. So Wentz probably doesn't trust himself to try to fit it into a tight spot. You know, there's a few times I saw Wentz miss Jonathan Taylor on a wheel route or miss somebody on a wheel route to try to force it to prove a point. And he just doesn't – he has an arm strength, but he doesn't have necessarily the accuracy to fit it into a tight spot, so he can't throw his wide receivers open. So that's typically his issue. He needs to go out in the backyard, hang a tire from the tree, and practice, have his kids push the tire, and he practiced throwing the ball through that tire while it's moving. That's what he needs to do. Yeah.
John, what do you got for Reggie?
I got to run. I'm about to pull in this parking garage. I know my phone's going to cut off, but I'll be back with y'all next week, and I should be able to listen. Go pulling into this parking garage.
Thanks,
Reggie.
Later.
All right, Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls, John. He didn't go in this week. So you consider yourself lucky. Hey, John, let's hit a quick ad read. We'll get our ads. We come back. I want to dive into the NFL. We kind of talked about it a little bit. I want to talk about my my meeting I had, the luncheon I had today with Adam Schefter, kind of dive into that a little bit, as well as talking to Indianapolis Colts and the NFL Combine. So we'll do all that and more. We'll be back from this break.
You changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-217. 243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custer Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. As I said, guys, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle build, custom auto accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels, you name it. They carry all the top brands and more. Listen, it's springtime. Well, it's getting there. It felt like spring today. You're going to want to get the car out there, turn the music up, put the windows down, get some of that Indiana fresh air. Hell, that South Florida fresh air. Give them a call. Upgrade the whip. Put some new rims on there, lights, LED, you name it. Give them a call. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. It's 833-746-7467. Let me try that one more time. 833-746-7628. I sound like Jonathan there. Or give them a call. Check them on the MaverickCustomMotorsports.com.
And we also want to thank Wiseman Logistics, our third sponsor. Wiseman Logistics, they're a shipping company, dedicated to successful deliveries of your packages, commercial or domestic. Call Wiseman Logistics. Call Duke Brandon. They're still hiring, even after the great holiday shipping has kind of been down. After the holiday shipping, they're still hiring. So they're still looking for drivers, still looking for warehouse help. Get in contact with Wiseman. Just tell them Crossroads Sports sent you. You might use Brandon Reese's name as a reference. Use Jonathan Burson's name as a reference. That's better than the golden ticket at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Wiseman Logistics.
Guys are idiots. In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
Thanks, Dan. John. You've been kind of relaxed on Dan on Double D lately. I haven't seen you going in on him, so we're gonna have to see.
There's no reason to. I think he lives off. He feeds off the energy of people kind of calling him out. But he's a hypocrite, and hopefully we won't get in trouble for using that drop. But he's the one called me an idiot, used my name as an idiot, whatever. At some point we'll tangle. And he'll lose.
I didn't hear him say that. Hey, every day it's nice out. He walked out that Emmett door at 3 p.m., so you know where to find him.
I'm not going to stalk him, but yeah. As far as sports talk and sports takes are concerned, man, me and Dan, I got nothing personal against Dan. He can call me an idiot. I've called him worse probably on Twitter. Dan Dockets rhymes with Jockets. I've said that numerous times. He's got bigger fish to fry, especially when he said a couple of weeks ago that IU was going to win the Big Ten, and here we are. A red and white team did win the Big Ten, but it was not IU. It was Wisconsin. So, like I said, man, we'll probably ramp it up here a little bit. Hopefully when we get this clearance for the big – hopefully, right, cross our fingers, we get the Big Ten tournament clearances and whatnot, we'll see him, and maybe we can personally introduce ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. John, let's dive NFL. Kyler Murray, John, his agent sent out a statement on Monday saying that he wants his boy paid. He wants a new contract. It's
right.
Adam Schefter talked about it today at our luncheon that it was, it's the first time that he's got a letter like that sent to him by the agent to say, hey, get this out to the masses. Really? The way you just performed, you want that big contract
Brandon, we are in muddy waters, man, with Kyler Murray. Again, I was a big proponent of his. Often injured QB that he is. He kind of just, the straw that stirs that drink out in Arizona, though. So I see from him and his agent standpoint the level of importance that he should be paid. But you're trying to bully, cyber bully, or through the social media way route of waltzing your way into a 45 to or more, right, $1 million contract per year. A lot of these contracts are front loaded, so it kind of pays out. But like, what have you really done? They've won a lot of games. So has a lot of other teams. The $45 million quarterbacks are the ones who are long tenured and who also have had some deep success in the playoffs. Okay, so I could see from Arizona's standpoint there is some hesitancy, right, that word, on paying him somewhere up that kind of money. You know what I mean? excuse me. He's more than a $20 million. He also knows that he's more than a $20 million quarterback, right? So I really don't know how this kind of all plays out, especially when they locked up the general manager and the coach just today, you know what I'm saying? When, you know, I know those guys are important as well, but, you know what I'm saying, now you've kind of told, you know what I'm saying, Murray, just to wait till, you know what I'm saying, as we get closer to the season, then we'll take care of you. And that's kind of like the message I kind of gotten from Arizona. Arizona knows what they have. They I won't say immature. I say he's kind of petulant. He's kind of, you know what I'm saying, impatient. You know what I mean? That's what I'll say about Kyler Murray's temperament from what I've kind of taken from it. And he wants to be taken care of. You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't, right? It's just I just can't see $45 million to that particular quarterback. Is he better than the $20 million quarterback? Let's say, like, what's the quarterback name in Cleveland? Is he better than him? You know what I mean? I would say yes. You know what I mean? Is he better than Patrick Mahomes? No. Does he have the resume that Patrick Mahomes does? No. Is he had the resume of even I'm forgetting, Ravens quarterback, you know what I'm saying, who's also due for, you know what I'm saying, an extension himself, man. So he's going to have to figure out, him and his agent are going to have to figure out that negotiating through the media is probably not the best way to go, especially, like, it's weird, Brandon. It's, like, totally weird, man, because he's already went through this whole big thing where he unfollowed everybody in Arizona, you know what I'm saying, Cardinals off Instagram. You know what I'm saying? He unfollowed everybody on Twitter. Okay. Well, yeah, fans are going to be pissed, you know what I'm saying, at the team and you, because, like they're figuring out, like, big in their team can't pay a $1 million quarterback. Why? What's the problem? You're asking us for, you know what I'm saying, $75 and up for tickets. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no problem asking that. Why can't you pay the guy? Well, you know, it ain't all that. It's, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, hell, they won games without it, too. You know what I mean? But, like I said, he's often injured. And he is small in stature, and that is a concern of theirs. From paying him a bigger contract, you know what I'm saying, longer term. So I don't know where it goes, man. I really don't. There are some teams that probably have some draft capital to go out and get him. But I think, again, they're not shopping. They're not that pissed at him that they're wanting to let him go. He's still technically under contract. He's just looking for an extension, right?
Right.
So I just don't know where it goes because again, you have an impatient player, you have an agent who thinks that this new way of thinking that you can negotiate through social media, and you have an ownership group and management group that's pretty much hardcore, pretty much like the old-fashioned the way they do things. So, like, which one blinks first? You know what I'm saying? So I think they get a deal done. I think, you know what I'm saying, the September when the season kicks off, obviously, I think he has an extension. It may not be for the years that he's looking for, but it'd be a bigger number than $20 to $25 million. It'd probably be, if I was running things, it'd probably be in the $30 million range, not necessarily the $45 million range, because I don't think he's as good as he should be paid.
Okay, makes sense. Like we just talked about with Reggie, Indianapolis Colts, John, the fact that Chris Ballard and Frank Wright, they're lying to everybody's faces when they say they haven't made a decision. They're still evaluating. How long does it take to evaluate? If you were going to keep the man, John, wouldn't you think they would have already said, hey, we're going to, you know, it was a bad end of the season and growing pains, and we'll try again next year. We got Carson at the helm, you know. So I just feel like, and you know, your rival has said on the airwaves, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth there on West 56th Street is just, you know, is just bullshit lies. And whether it become an injuries, whether it become going after somebody or keeping a player, like, it's just, so I just shook my head, and Twitter just blew up yesterday when I heard them say, well, we're not really sure yet what we're going to do. Frank went out and said, you know, hey, I stuck my neck out for this guy. And, you know, I think it took a lot of convincing that they had to do to Mr. Irsay to say, hey, this is our guy. Frank works with him. He's the quarterback whisperer. Frank will get it fixed. Ursay's like, you know what? Fine. We'll give it a shot. And I think Ursay got pissed. And then now he's at the point, he's like, listen, it's time to go. He sent off some of those tweets while he was out in Arizona, probably drinking in the, under the neon light, and just said, we've got a quarterback. Well, no shit. Of course it does. So, and also, you need to look at that offense. It's just there's no wide receiver. There's no O-line.
Whoa. There is an O-line. There is a mediocre quarterback.
The left tackle is not. You still need a quarterback that under pressure. Right now there's pressure because that left tackle's position is a little open.
Right. So when you say, I get it that they have served up a bunch of lies over the years. Andrew Luck coming back. Is Andrew Luck, what's going on with that? I get it. And it kind of compounds it. They're in the negotiating business of trying to move Carson Wentz, and you can't openly say, oh, yeah, we're getting rid of him. And then what? And then the price goes down, right? So you would hope.
They're going to cut him if they don't trade him. So why would anybody want to trade and give up an asset?
That was what interpreted between what the owner said and what the media said. It was Chris Morton said that. I never heard Chris Ballard say that. Okay? So that's what he can kind of, you know what I'm saying, stand on just a little bit. So what I would say, you know, you can't get back into the first round trading Carson Wentz. Nobody's going to trade you. I'm just talking about regardless of, you know what I'm saying, him getting cut. Think about it. Think about what you saw on the field. There's no and go back to what you saw on the field in Philadelphia, right? There's nobody going to trade you. If that's the case, that general manager would lose his job the next day after he made that trade. So you can't get back into the first round. You can't probably get back into the second round, even the bottom part of the second round, because, again, if Carson Wentz was a rookie right now, would he be drafted potentially in the second round? I would say yes, but more so than not, you better have a damn good offensive line that can do a lot of things, like I think the Colts did, in a better offensive line or situation than he had and coach that he had in Philadelphia from year over year. So if you don't have those things set into place, then Carson Wentz can't be your guy in the second round. Now here's where it gets a little warm. I'm going to skip the third round. Could you get a fourth round pick for Carson Wentz? I say yes. But you got to find, you know what I'm saying, not a sucker. Okay, you got to find somebody who is really he's like, man, we have a coach, we have a really depleted room as far as it concerns our quarterback room. There are some teams around the league that, for whatever reason, they have holes in other positions, edge. You know what I'm saying? When I think about the Carolina Panthers, when I think about even Tampa Bay, you know what I'm saying? When I think about, you know what I'm saying, the situation that's going on with the Texans down, you know, from down south, again. I know there's a big no-no in trading within the division, right? But, again, there are some rooms that they just don't have quarterback figured out. It's not maybe it's not as murky to everybody else that the Colts that people think the Colts are, but it is real murky. Did you really believe, like, Washington? Are you serious? The Saints? They don't have a quarterback. You know what I mean? So, she's right. Again, Pittsburgh would trade you a fourth round, fifth round maybe. You know what I'm saying, for Carson Wentz. You know, and to have that money get deferred, I don't know. 15, you know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's what kind of happens during the combine time when you know what I'm saying, you have guys face to face, you're not on the phone, you're not on teleconference or whatever, you're not on the Zoom, whatever your case may be, and you can get a real, you know what I'm saying, meeting one-on-one with other teams who might want to either A, you know what I'm saying, trade for you, help do, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, man, Chris Ballard, all these guys, they do favors for one another, you know what I'm saying? And that business, you know what I mean, nobody's just going to throw you Aaron Rodgers for nothing. Nobody's just going to throw you, you know what I'm saying, a young quarterback or whatever, or a draft pick for nothing, you know what I'm saying? But they are favors done. You know what I'm saying? Future considerations. You know what I'm saying? That's what future considerations mean. Oh, remember when Indiana traded? Remember when you traded us? You know what I'm saying? Your third round pick for Carson Wentz? Well, we need that favorite back now. You know what I'm saying? It might be 2024 or whatever. But, like, no, man. So I think that's what one of the good things, either, you know what I'm saying, during the combine, you're evaluating young talent that's coming into the league from the college ranks. You also, you know what I'm saying, seeing what else the other deals are might be out there. You also, you know, people are asking, is Russell Wilson really available? You know what I'm saying? We hear what he says when he goes on these other – on these shows and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, we are kind of a year removed, but is he really available? Is Aaron Rodgers, what is that saga going to look like, you know what I'm saying, if he chooses to leave Green Bay? So, again, you know what I'm saying, there are some teams that would take Carson Wentz. You just have to have the property. Are there better coaches than Frank Wright in this league? Absolutely. Are there just as competent offensive lines that protecting the quarterback in this league? Absolutely. Could he flourish somewhere else or at least put a team in a position to make the playoffs? Again, the Colts were in a position to make the playoffs, and for whatever reason, his play, defensive play, Frank's play calling, special teams, this came up short two or three games. So, again, the margin
was a 3-1. Darius Leonard couldn't tackle. There was several misses for that team.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Carson in that last game.
But remember, though, quarterback is the leader of the face of that of winning. I mean, whether you like it or don't like it, as Ric Flair would say, he takes the, not just Carson, all the quarterbacks take responsibility of a team. You know what I'm saying? In the one loss column. That's
Let me ask you this.
Fact. Go ahead.
We've had five years of the Ballard and Frank Wright regime. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Ballard rack machine, like the regime now, like, damn, we just can't get it on. We don't like it. We want to fire Frank, or we want to get rid of Ballard, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. That regime right now, I think, John, if I looked it up right, they're two or three games over 500.
Two, three, over
500.
Yeah.
And if they go into this season with a different quarterback than Carson Wentz, John, that's five different starting quarterbacks for five seasons. I mean, so
nobody wants, right?
Not the one.
Unforeseeable events, right? Phillip Rivers, 1 year, one and done. You know what I'm saying? This guy, one and done. I don't believe Ballard really wants any of these quarterbacks on any of these other starting quarterbacks on somebody else's team. Okay? A lot of times coaches will take a guy. Think about what happened in Chicago, right, when they took the Red Rocket. That was a waste of time. Think about what happened in the year prior to in Dallas. They just needed a quarterback because Dak was hurt, so they took the Red Rocket. Again, we've known the Red Rocket to be able to play competent football, but again, that was probably, you know, his best heyday. His best game left him 6-7 years ago. So you got to put out a product. Whether you got the best starting defensive edge rush guy or the best defensive line or offensive line, you still got to put a quarterback out there that can deliver the ball. A lot of times, guys, you know what I'm saying, we've seen them come from the Big 12, the Big 10, or whatever, freshman in the rookie year, second year. They're not necessarily ready for the speed of the game and the dynamics of the change of the game from college to pro. So you got to put something out there. I really think they wish they could probably go back and, I don't know, probably not make that trade, right? But then the people of Indiana, the Indianapolis Colts fans would turn on them, because then you're kind of saying that we're going to go on tank, especially after everybody was – you know what I'm saying? Especially after Detroit Stafford, that the Stafford trade to L.A. happened. Especially after, you know what I'm saying, everybody was, you know what I'm saying, kind of scrambling to who can we get when Phillip Rivers retired on him. You know what I mean?
Right.
They feel like and I do too. You know what I'm saying? There's issues in the secondary. Yes. Can it be improved? Yes. Is there an issue with the edge rushing? Yes. You know what I'm saying? You know, Zaquiti Pay is still a work in progress, right? Yes, all those things. But I still think that for my money, the offensive line is grade A, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you get that type of production out of Jonathan Taylor on a different team. You know, say what now?
You're giving it a grade A?
The offensive line? Yes.
They gave up all of that.
Carson Wentz came from where and brought this to here.
Still gave up a lot of sacks.
I look at the numbers. Philadelphia improved once his ass left one offensive lineman and brought in another one from free agency. You're telling me two guys improved that much? I get it, different quarterbacks, but it ain't like, you know what I'm saying, Carson Wentz ain't that. We've seen him be able to take off, okay? He came here, same offensive line that Phillip Rivers had, same offensive line. Phillip Rivers didn't eat that much. Phillip Rivers didn't, I mean, you know what I'm saying, smarter and better quarterback. How did the offensive line obviously go from supposedly crap?
Over Fisher.
Say what now?
He said Phillip Rivers also had Costanzo over Eric Fisher. So that's a huge upgrade on the left tackle.
Yeah, okay. So, but still, Jonathan Taylor didn't have that kind of – so, again, I would say this because, I mean,
we can go back and forth.
I think NFL insiders have told and Chris Ballard have told the ownership group, and Chris Ballard probably already knows, we made – Carson Wentz looked better coming here, okay? You're right? That's what I think. They told him we made him look better when he came here because his stats not bad. He didn't turn over. I don't think – yeah, he did. He got double-digit turnovers. I think he was like 10 interceptions and on 26. Brandon, I don't have the stats in front of me. But, again, he played better here because he's on a better offensively balanced team. Can the wideouts be better? Absolutely. But Reggie just said it when he called in. He misses. He doesn't use running backs at all for whatever reason. Is the coach vanilla at tight end? Absolutely. But again, we weren't saying they were super vanilla when Phillip Rivers was here at all. So I think they believe if they could, I don't know if they can. I think their quarterback is still playing college. He's somewhere in Alabama. He's somewhere in Ohio State. He's somewhere at USC.
Say it now. If you're going to keep him, say it. If you're going to get rid of him, get rid of him. Why lie, right? I mean, I'm trying to find an answer for
because
that.
You still got to – so have you ever bought a used car before?
Yes.
Or a pre-owned car before? Do you think they told you the Carfax on that car? You know what I'm saying? Or did you have to look at that? And if you look it up on your own, that's on you, right? They never tell you, oh, well, we had to replace this or this car is missing. Or they're not missing. They're never going to tell you a used car is missing something, but we had to replace this, that, and other. Or this car at one point was in a wreck or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, they're trying to get the best deal done without having to basically let him walk. I think they spent a second and a first on Carson.
First
Wentz,
and third.
And a first and third. So thank goodness we still got a second. You can still get that wide out in the second or tight end in the second round. But I think they need to figure out that, again, you spent all your money, but what was the return on it? Yes, your fans were somewhat happy for at least 7 weeks, maybe. Remember, there was a point where the fans in Indianapolis market was feeling good for Carson Wentz. You know what I mean?
So that's
what you paid for. How does it? Brandon, don't it suck? I know you don't remember because Ben Roethlisberger, I don't believe they ever had a losing season while he was a Pittsburgh, while he was in the Pittsburgh uniform. But like, doesn't it suck from a standpoint when we talked and chopped it up with the Detroit Lions fans? Doesn't it suck when you see your team, the Atlanta Falcons, win four games after the, you know what I'm saying, they're 2 or 3 years away from the Super Bowl? Doesn't it from the, I'm talking about from the fans that we interact with, you know what I'm saying? It's always, oh man, if we just had a competent quarterback, oh man, if we just had somebody. Well, you know, Carson Wentz is a somebody. It's just a C+ when we really want an A+, the Colts. So they're going to go look for A+ guy. I don't know. You know what, Brandon? You said what now?
Did the Colts kick the tires on Jared Goff and try to make that work?
I bet you did. I can see there's a conversation. I can see a conversation. Detroit is stupid enough to draft Sam Howell or some other quarterback who should probably be a little bit further down the draft list. They're stupid enough as an organization to draft, you know what I'm saying, one of those quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, that high. I've seen that. I actually, you know what I'm saying, shook my head at it when I saw, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't necessarily Mel Kiper. It might have been Todd McShay who had Sam Howell as the number two overall. And I'm like, are you serious? You know what I mean? No, Brandon, Brandon, there's nothing that I don't, again, I like Sam Howell. I don't want to totally crap on Sam Howell. I like the kid from, that you covered, the kid from Pitt. You know what I'm saying? I like him. I even like the kid from Cincinnati. But, and the kid from Liberty, he's going to be the kid from Liberty is probably not. He's in the top six.
Period. Oh, wow.
He's in the top six, for sure. The kid from Liberty,
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be, listen, Brandon, there's going to be this whole narrative by people who don't know no better. It's, oh, man, he played at a little school. Who did they beat? Man, it doesn't matter who they beat. It doesn't matter if he can deliver. It doesn't matter. It just matters if he can be a leader. Those are the things. It matters if he's athletic as hell. You know what I mean? That's what matters. Now, he's got all those intangibles. He's got all those things. Now, can you, it's on the NFL to put the bulk on him and put the pieces around him so that he can deliver. And you won't care if Liberty played Belmont or UConn. It won't really matter. You know what I'm saying? You know what he did in college. But some of the other quarterbacks that we saw, Desmond, the kid from Cincinnati, those guys are, I'm not going to say works in progress, but they're probably more second-round picks or bottom of the first-round picks than they are, like, got to have you in the first five, you know. Matt Corral from Ole Miss, he'll probably be – if he hadn't got hurt, he'd probably be a top-10 pick. You know what I'm saying? I think there's some – you know, there's that to kind of consider. So, I don't necessarily think this is the golden era of quarterbacks in this particular draft. That's going to be in 2 years or even next year when we talk about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young potentially coming out of Alabama and Ohio State.
Okay. Switch gears. I want to talk college basketball, Jim.
We're down.
Next week, conference tournaments start for a lot of the major programs. Let's talk Indiana Hoosiers and Purdue Boilermakers, our two local teams here. IU right now playing Rutgers. Both teams are on the bubble, that final last four in. I think this game is most likely in. Hoosiers are at home leading right now. But the Hoosiers had a big win. They almost fell apart against Minnesota. But this Big Ten's wacky, John. Ohio State loses at home to Nebraska last night. Like, does anybody really want to, you know, to stand out? Illinois, when they lost, but Wisconsin obviously got a huge win last night. A little luck. A couple bank shots in to beat the Boilermakers. They are your Big Ten champions, at least co-champs. From the Big Ten. What's your take here on the Big Ten Conference as we go in the last week of games?
Man, the conference going into the tournament, man, because we are privy to the Big Ten, you want the Big Ten to go as far as you can. When I look at the individual teams, Purdue, it's a disappointment. They play great defense. There's no doubt about that. They were in that game. You mentioned the game against Wisconsin. I'm going to go back to the game on Saturday against Michigan State at Michigan State. I get it. It's hard to win on the road, but you have a veteran team. You have a special team. I don't understand how – correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon. Caleb First and Mason, they were Indiana All-Stars, were they not? At some point, they can't score. And that's the frustrating part. It's also frustrating, you know what I'm saying, sometimes – with Mason Gillis, he gets in foul trouble. I don't know. I think in the Michigan State game, I think the referees, I'm not saying they're picking on him, but they just made some bad calls totally in that particular game. Yeah. And in this game, he really did put himself in bad fouling situations. But, you know, again, Jaden Ivey still is just a sophomore. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Jaden Ivey is going to be an NBA, you know what I'm saying, lottery pick and all those things going down the road. But to be special college basketball team, you have to have more than just one guy. You technically, Brandon, you got to have more than just two guys. Think about that Florida team, how many guys they had on that team that could get you a bucket at a crucial time when Joakim Noah and Horford, right. Think about that special team. Think about their Arizona Wildcats when they won. You had Bibby and Miles Simon and Jason Terry from the guard position. You know what I'm saying? Think about, oh, my God, you know what I'm saying, Say what now?
I'll give you the 2000 Florida Gators. Donnell Harvey, Teddy Dupre, Mike Miller, Matt Bonner, Udonis Haslam.
I was talking about the winning one. I was talking about Horford and Joakim Noah, that particular team, and Corey Brewer. I'm talking about that team. They had three guys. You know what I'm saying? They could get it done. Think about some of the great Duke teams that got it, that won a championship. They always had more than just two guys that gave offensive effort or defensive effort, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? So it can't just be the Jaden Ivey show. And it necessarily hasn't been. Zach Edey has played great, has he not? You know what I'm saying? When you look at his stats.
He's playing weak.
Sometimes say what now?
He's played weak. He's been playing weak. Like, use your strength. Use your body. He got bullied last night. He did.
Man,
flat out got bullied.
Last night, I get you. Yeah, I give you that last night. But the last two games, man, 17 points one night, 24 another, man. When y'all telling me that big men like him are dinosaurs, man. He's still giving you, you know what I'm saying,
right,
averaging 18 and a half, man, dude. But you're right. So, you know, that Purdue's been a disappointment. Wisconsin was picked fifth in the preseason to finish, and here they are, number one team holding the trophy, at least right now, potentially, not necessarily being co-champs. I get on IU, like, man, like, you can't, like, Hoosiers, I'm with you, but it can't be, dude, we just need to get two games. I didn't grow up in that era, Brandon, where we just get two more games and we're in. Like, dude, IU expects to get to the tournament. You telling me, Brandon, Reese, that IU faithful, I think, saying we need two more games to get into the tournament and so that we can, so that you can be a freaking ninth seed and get blown out potentially by whoever, whoever put you up against. Like, what's getting to the tournament mean? You know what I'm saying? I get it. There's been a drought, but there used to be an arrogance with the Hoosiers. Like, we getting to the tournament, that was just past, that was like past go on Monopoly. We knew if you roll the dice, we knew we were going to get to the tournament. But they played Jekyll and Hyde. You blowing out Minnesota, and then, you let them come back after, being up double digits. Again, it's like head scratching. I don't know what it is with this particular brand of basketball. It even happens on the pro level, Brandon. Teams can't finish. You get up 20 points by a half. I remember, I'm old enough to remember the Shaquille O'Neal Lakers or the Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls. You get up 20 at half, man, it's a cakewalk. It was a 40-point blowout. You know what I'm saying? They enforced their will. There's not too many teams that are enforcing their will out here in the total field. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be madness. It's going to be unpredictable from the Big Ten standpoint, from the Big East standpoint. Although, I mean, again, if at the start of the season, correct me if I'm wrong, you had the Big East ranked a whole lot lower than the Big Ten and the Big 12. And right now, I think they got like at least three teams in the top 25, and I think four teams, specifically five, is probably going to go to the tournament. You know what I'm saying? The ACC's down this year. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But Duke's going to be right there. North Carolina's probably going to play spoiler, at least on the second, and then into the second weekend for somebody. But I don't know. You know, I don't know, Brandon. I'm gonna turn it back over to you. Who do you think wins the tournament, the Big Ten tournament?
Oh, my God, I knew you were going to ask me that. I just saw on the TV, they just gave the bracket out. I'm going to go Illinois.
Okay.
I think Illinois wins the Big Ten again. They won it last year. I know they've lost some pieces, but I just, Wisconsin, they're looking good right now. But, Purdue hasn't shown me that they've got what it takes to win this tournament, and they never perform well in Indianapolis. Iowa's your four seed. Iowa's got shown some good, some bad. I mean, hell, so is Illinois. I don't know if I have to take any of those teams. I'll take Illinois, I guess. You know, I think they
how many in your more talent. In your estimation, how many teams from the Big Ten make it to the tournament?
Eight.
Confident eight. Okay.
Yeah, confident eight.
Brandon, I got on my list. I got Wisconsin for sure. Purdue, Illinois, yep. Ohio State. Iowa. Outside of that, I don't know if anybody else makes it. I don't know.
I think Indiana gets in. I think Sparty can win a game or two. Here, let me ask you this, John.
Sure.
Somebody asked me this question earlier today. Who's had more of a disappointing season this year, Michigan or Michigan State?
Both of them have littered with one and dones. it has to be Michigan, even though they blew out Michigan State last night, right?
They both were ranked in the top 10 to start the season.
Yeah, it has to be Michigan, just the way, you know what I'm saying, you think about it. I know we were off when Juwan Howard and the Coach Guard situation went down. That was wild in itself. But, you know what I'm saying, Juwan has chosen to go the route of, like, so many other college, you know what I'm saying, programs, Kentucky, Duke, you know what I'm saying, Kansas, get the one and done talent in there and see if you can mold them in for a year. And that's hard. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to get guys in because you sell them on the dream. Your coach Calipari, your coach Krzyzewski, your coach Juwan Howard. But I don't think a lot of times young guys know how hard it is. It was even to be Juwan Howard. I think people just see, oh, Juwan Howard, yeah, I mean, he just had natural talent. They just rolled it out there, and he was the Fab Five. I mean, he put in work to be in part of that, you know, to be a starter. He put in work to be, NBA lottery pick, all those things. And sometimes I think that's a miss with a lot of guys when you bring them on to your team. I think Penny Hardaway, he had his in Memphis. I think he had his come to Jesus moment. Mid-season when he had to deal with his team not performing because they had these, you know what I'm saying, these I'm only here for a short time attitude. Well, you know, again, so I, to answer your question, I think it's Michigan. They're on the bubble right now. So if they win, you know, technically, Brand, if they win a game or two in the tournament, their brand probably gets them in. And they do have some significant wins. They got some eye-opening losses too, but they do have enough significant wins where they bring some ranked opponents. But it has been a disappointment for them for sure.
We had a debate, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but we had a debate because then I just saw a piece of news on Twitter that I want to talk to you about. We had a debate at work about Tom Izzo. That is Tom Izzo, is he overrated? Because everybody talks about Izzo, March. Yeah, he's had teams kind of go to the Final Four. John, he's only won one title, and that was 22 years ago. The national championship was 22 years ago.
600 games. He's won over 662 games. What you mean by overrated is you're saying is he better than Coach K? Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? Is he better than Coach Knight? Absolutely. Even though he just surpassed Coach Knight? Absolutely not. Better than Calipari? It's a toss up. Be honest with you, I think he's a better X and O guy than Calipari, even though Calipari's got more championships. Is he better than Jay? What's the coach's name? Coach Jay in Villanova.
Jay Wright.
Yeah, thank you, Jay Wright. Is he better than him? You know what I'm saying? He switched. You know what I'm saying? Would Jay Wright win more in the Big Ten? I'd say maybe so, probably. But I don't think necessarily he's overrated. It's just that, like, who are we ranking him over? That's what I would say. So, go ahead.
So I just saw Seth Davis on Twitter, and I didn't know you could do this, if it's true, which I don't think Seth Davis, and it's a verified account. I didn't know you could do this, and I didn't know it was in the tournament seeding bylaws, because you can look at the parameters that go into brackets on Selection Sunday process and all this. But it says sources confirmed to The Athletic College Basketball what ESPN's Wright Thompson first reported. Duke has requested to be placed in the Midwest Regional, quote, Chicago, instead of the East, Philly. Chicago is Coach K's hometown. Higher seed normally goes closest region, but school decides the preference. So you can just decide what region you want to go into?
I never know that, but that might be the arrogance of Duke, man. You know, they know the rule backwards and forwards. They really do. That's how they get some of the talents they got, from, if you believe some of the rumor mills type stuff. But, like, nah, man, I never heard that. That's a new one on me, man.
Twitter showed up about it. Somebody goes, he wants to lose to a seventh seed in his hometown. Somebody goes, wait, you can request
man, listen, I'm a Duke homer. When you think about the tournament, who do you think about, really? You think about Coach Duke. K, don't you? You think about hating. Everybody thinks about hating. The Duke, Everybody thinks about hating on Duke, and this is going to add more fuel to the fire.
Nobody gives him credit. He was the first one to pull his team out of the NCAA tournament due to COVID before they canceled it.
Two years ago.
And by the way, ACC season champs, Tanner's been pretty quiet this year on that basketball team. So we'll see.
You know what? Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I said we'll see. I mean, they Carolina cheapest ticket for Carolina Duke at Duke this final home game is $5K cheapest ticket. You going?
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said the cheapest ticket's $5,000 for Coach K's last home game against North Carolina this Saturday.
The cheapest ticket's $5,000. I'll be watching on TV. I know the Duke faithful will be there. I know Leitner. I know Grayson. I know Bobby Hurley if he don't have a game in Arizona. I know Jay will be there. I know Grant Hill will be there. It's gonna be magnanimous. I can't wait.
I'm nervous to read some of the excerpts in there. I know we talked about the one with Tommy Amaker, but I picked it up. I just started reading the first couple chapters, so I'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. It talks about him and Bob Knight, their big falling out back in 92. I guess 92 where it started at the Final Four in there. So that'd be interesting to see. College basketball's here. College basketball's great. I mean, all I say is if you fill out a bracket, and me and Jonathan will fill our brackets, we'll have a Crossroads Sports bracket pool for everybody to join. There'll be more information on the Facebook page. But please, just have yourself a little safe. Have yourself a container of kerosene because those brackets are probably going to get torched pretty quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely on there. John, I don't know, I'm trying to think if I have anything else for you tonight. Man, it's been a great show getting back in. We had the veteran Jack Vaughn on. Real quick, early thoughts, James Harden, Philadelphia experience. Slim Harden,
man,
too.
It's a bunch of crap, man. James Harden out there playing hard now. You know,
and he's
I guess he's happy. You know, they got an impending date with the Nets on the next week, I think the 12th. I think they finally played since the trade all went down. He's putting up crazy stats. You know what I'm saying? Embiid loves playing with him. He even got in a defensive stance. I know that's crazy, man. But we shall see, man. James Harden is graded on what he does in the playoffs more so than what he does in the regular season. I don't want to crap on his way. You know what I'm saying? Some of his MVP moments or what he's done from a scoring standpoint. He's the offense. He's a great offensive player. We all know that. But you know, so he's got to get it done in the postseason. And so far, and during his career, he has not. And he's had opportunity to be great and to get it done. And he's always kind of come up short. So he's happy. He's playing happy now. And you know, saying he's on an equal team that he was already that he left. So we shall see what the Sixers have.
Okay, perfect. Do you have anything left? We got a couple more minutes. Do you have anything we haven't touched on?
No, man. Just wanted to shout out a couple programs. Shout out to the Ball State men's golf. They did their thing out there in Puerto Rico at the Invitational. Man, Brandon, when I come back in my next life, man, I'm coming back as a golfer. Hopefully Ball State recruits me, man, because not only were they in Puerto Rico, which is like, you know, balmy 80-degree weather. When we get Coach Fleck on, we're going to ask him about it. That was this 2 weeks from now. They go to Scottsdale for the GU Invitational, for the Grand Canyon University Invitational. Man, dude, can you imagine? You're a student athlete, and one week you're in Puerto Rico, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to deal with, you know what I'm saying? We had snow up to our wazoos, right, just a week and a half ago here in Circle City in Indiana. And then in 2 weeks, they're going to Arizona. So, man, shout out to the Ball State. And they actually placed a couple guys in the top 10 performers, man. I don't want to shout out anybody's name specifically, but, you know what I'm saying, anybody listen to my voice, check out Ball State Men's Golf for sure. And like I said, we'll have Coach Blake on here pretty soon. To get his take on his particular season, man. Outside of that, I also want to shout out IEPUI, you know what I'm saying, men's and women's basketball program. Men's program not doing as great, you know what I'm saying. Again, dude, Brandon, they're down to five players going into their tournament.
They had five guys playing last night.
Yeah, so going into their tournament, five guys playing, man, that's tough. You know what I'm saying? I know they're going to have a better season next year. I know they're, you know what I'm saying? Coach Crenshaw has his recruits set in place coming in. You know what I'm saying? He'll get guys come back off injury next year. And I know that three-win season, hopefully, damn near, let's pray that it gets tripled, right? Yeah, but like now, and then and on the women's side, dude, they won their league, Horizon League champions, and Macy Williams, she's four-time Horizon League Player of the Year, man. So IUPUI, I see them not necessarily make a little noise, you know, saying the women's program make a little noise in the when the tournament comes up for them, they'll definitely get their name called for sure. Outside of that, man, dude, I watched a little bowling, believe it or not, man, I'm kind of glued into it. Brandon, I don't necessarily know all the names and all the players and how it all works, you know what I'm saying? But I watched the PBA Invitational. No, it wasn't the Invitational. It was the PBA Tournament of Champions. So, you know, Tournament of Champions, all guys that didn't win tournament.
Pete Weber.
Yeah. No. Pete Weber's 1,000 years old, man. It's a guy, Don Barrett. Inundate yourselves with Don Barrett, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna reach out, Brandon. I'm gonna try to get one of the champions on the show. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's your bowling average. You know what I'm saying? Thinking about the last time you went bowling.
Not
what's,
good. What's your average? 130, 120. I don't know. Not that good.
Oh man, you can get 120 on Wii Bowling. Come on, Brandon. Come on, man. We'll have to schedule an event or something like that to go do some bowling or something like that, man. We'll make it an event out of it. But like, nah, man. Other than that, man, like I said, man, Major League Baseball better get its act together, dude. I've been watching a whole lot of other, you know, saying sports, man. I watched Daytona because I was pulling for Bubba. He came up short. I think what's the guy who won? Austin. Ain't his name Austin? Somebody
Austin
he won, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, Austin Chindry. He's the one that won. But since then, man, I've seen races with Kyle Larson won a race at Fontana.
Yep.
And Cole Cluster, you know what I'm saying? So baseball better get, like, again, we got five black owners in NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? Once that, you know what I mean, dude, you know what I'm saying? NASCAR races, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of changing, you know what I'm saying? Well, it's getting better. How about that? And, you know what I'm saying? The audience is getting larger, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Other than that, Brandon, you know what I'm saying? I think we had a great show, bro. You want me to take us out, or do you guys? Did you watch The Walking Dead, the last one? Are you caught up?
Yeah, yeah. I watched the last one, and I watched the one for next week already, so I don't have any spoilers for you.
Okay, all right. Well, I need to watch the one for next week before, so we'll talk a little Walking Dead for sure next week. When we have a show next week. So if you don't have anything else, I'll take us out.
Take us out.
All right, man. Just want to say thank you for everybody who called in today. I want to say thank you to D-Cott and Reggie. Man, I'm glad we didn't get them on there arguing for sure. But I also want to thank you, all the folks who kind of chimed in on Facebook Live, Justin Powell, Tamika, Kelly, D-Cott, again, and Reggie. You know, so they were on the live too, you know what I'm saying, arguing and whatnot. And if you ain't on the live, on the Facebook Live, post shame on you. Man, next time maybe you will. Check us out, Crossroads Sports on Facebook, Crossroads Sports on Twitter. I also want to say thank you to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. I also want to say thank you to Watch Logistics. I also want to say thank you to Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Those are our sponsors. How could we do this show without them? They make it smoother. Do yourself a favor, folks. Listen to my voice right now. Check out Watch Logistics. Check out Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Check out Scott K. Nichols. They might have something that you need. Everybody needs insurance. Everybody wants their car pimped out. Everybody needs shipping supplies, right? So check out all our sponsors. At your discretion. Outside of that, man, dude, I can't say that we didn't have, like I said, we had a great show. I hope to see everybody on Facebook Live again. I hope to hear everybody calling and even more next week. I'm so excited, Brandon. I can't even talk. So without I'm stuttering. Outside of that, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.